the English and Martial Arts Podcast Show.
How you doing? The Habbo radio station everyone loves.
I love them a lot.
Hello and welcome to the English Martial Arts Podcast Show. In this episode, we're going to talk about the practicalities of defending oneself in a very bad situation. I'm approaching this from an English martial arts, combatives, boxing, and everyday weapons scenario. First of all, let's talk about the weapon. Now, the one big one that is perfectly legal and that you can carry around with you is a walking stick or walking cane. You can use a heavy cane, you can use a light cane, but they are perfectly legal to carry around with you as part of your fashion, as a fashion accessory, or if you need it to help you walk. There are many different ways to use a walking cane or walking stick in defense, and one of them is the old art of backswording, as well as also learning what Fairburn has to teach about the stick and cane. Both of these methods are really, really good, and if you join them together, they're even better. I mean, you have close in work, as well as fighting from different ranges. You can use the stick single-handedly, or you can use it with two hands, depending on the distance you are from the attacker or the opponent. Now, if people are interested in learning how to use the stick or the cane, the best thing to do is try and find an instructor that absolutely knows his stuff. But also beware, because there is a lot of fraudulent teachers out there that proclaim to teach this stuff but have no clue whatsoever what they're doing. To learn the Fairburn stuff off of a teacher is the ideal way to learn. But you can also get Fairburn stuff through books and videos. And if you have a training partner, you can go through all the drills. You can also build yourself a pel or get a tire or a heavy bag and practice your strikes upon that to build power. With the backsword, it's not so easy because there aren't many people that teach it and there aren't many publications that can show you how to actually work out and train the backsword. So with that, you're probably really going to need to go to a teacher for that, because otherwise it would be nigh impossible for you to learn it. And the backsword, like the Fairburn stuff, can be used for lethal force as well as just arresting someone, arrest techniques, etc. So you have a whole range of technique that you can call upon when you learn one or both of these systems. The one thing about weapons is they can be lethal, so they need to be trained properly, and the person wielding the stick or the cane really, really needs to be able to control what they're doing, both bodily and mental. Because when you get into a physical encounter and you have a weapon like a cane or the walking stick, you are at an advantage, and you really need to make sure that you can use the right amount of force just to make sure that you render the attacker useless or take their weapon away from them. But of course, yes, you must make sure that you are safe and that the other person poses no more danger to you. Ideally, your cane should be made of oak or ash or hickory, some kind of wood that actually can take a lot of abuse. So when you're training with it, it takes knocks and it doesn't break. And when you're walking with it, it still looks nice. But those are the three woods I would recommend. You can find walking sticks and canes of many, many different kinds of woods, and they're really, really strong. So obviously those three I've mentioned are what I like, but you can always get something else. Now, with a walking cane, you can, of course, have a decorative head, and that decorative head can be made out of brass or bronze or nickel, anything you want, really. And usually they're nice and heavy. Some of them are solid, some of them are hollow with a stick threads right up through them. And that, of course, can also help you and give you an advantage when defending yourself against, say, a knife or a machete or another stick, or against someone who is twice as big as you. And of course, it's very, very important that you train with the stick and you target vital areas, much like a bare hand fighter would, such as the liver, the breadbasket, the groin, and of course the head and the face, as well as kneecaps, you know, spine, all those kind of things need to be practiced so that you are comfortable when aiming and striking at these places on the body. Okay, now we'll move on to the unarmed section of this episode. Now, first of all, I'm going to talk about pugilism, which is what our club teaches. And the way that we train is we have a lot of hard contact, as well as a lot of drilling and a lot of exercises that toughen the body, which is great. But for the person who's just looking for some self-defense to keep themselves safe in a confrontation, it is really, really good to try and train the hands a bit. So if you've got a bag or if you've got a partner who can hold some pads, you can throw different strikes at those pads if you know how to throw those strikes. It might be best to go to a teacher and learn how to make a fist properly, how to hit with the palm properly, as well as other techniques. But let's just say that the people I'm talking to know how to make a fist, and they know how to stand and throw that at that fist. The best thing to do is to make sure that you work on hardening the body parts that you're hitting with, as well as being able to move quickly in and out. Also, the palm strike is a good weapon to use because it's solid and there is no give like there is with a fist. Also, from the palm, you go into what is called an eye gouge, and the eye gouge will really put the frighteners on your attacker. So for defense, I would recommend being able to use your hands, whether it be a fist or an open hand strike, being able to use an elbow strike and a knee strike, and having some kind of kicking system, maybe like purring, where you go for the shins, the knees, the ankles with your kicks, and that really does put a lot of pressure on your opponent when they're feeling that kind of pain. So simple, straightforward techniques that will get you through. So straight punches, straight palm and the eye gouge, straight knee kicks such as the front kick and the purring, and also you want an elbow which comes around into the side of the head or jaw, which can be a devastating strike. Now, on top of that, you will need to know how to get out of holds, because when you do get into a confrontation, if you do, it goes from long range to short range in a very short space of time. So you will need to how to make sure that you know how to get out of any kind of hold, as well as being able to use those holds on an opponent. Now, you'd need to learn chokes, blood chokes and air chokes, and face locks as well, which are really phenomenally painful for an opponent. You also need to know how to tie up the arms with things like maybe a double wrist lock, that kind of thing. And you'll need to know how to take someone down, such as ankle picks, single leg takedowns, maybe double leg takedowns, and other techniques that get a person on the floor. Now, once they're on the floor, if you're still standing, that's fine. You can just put the boot in. But if you go down with your opponent, you're going to need to know how to fight on the ground. Obviously, you have what they call ground and pound. That's if you're on top. And also, you can apply double wrist locks. You can apply leg locks, all kinds of things while you're on the ground. It doesn't have to be fancy, and you don't have to know hundreds of different ways of fighting. You just have to practice a few good ones so that you can apply them quickly and efficiently and really without thinking. And you will need a partner for this. But I really recommend you go and find a teacher who can teach you this kind of grappling. Hopefully, your stand-up game is good enough fast enough and hard enough to put someone down and away quickly. But if not, if your confidence goes and you don't apply the strikes with full force, going trying to punch through the target, and he grabs you and takes you down, then you are going to need some groundwork experience. Self-protection isn't always simple, because you do need to train, you need to drill, and you need a partner that you can use and practice your techniques against, because otherwise you're just dancing. You must either join a place where they can teach you all this stuff, or a couple of places that one teaches one bit, another teaches another bit. Lots of martial artists and self-defense enthusiasts do that. They go to different gyms, or they find one that gives them everything they want. It depends. But you really should go to someone, especially for the unarmed, and even more so for the weapons. I would really recommend, if you're in America, the best teachers that they've got, the Defendu people, such as Ralph Grasso and Clint Sporman. If you're in Canada, Craig Gayminer. If you're in England, Terry Brown and the English Martial Arts. You know, there are so many good people about that are underused. Really, really need to find these people out, because then you will get the real thing, not just some made-up stuff. So, all in all, that is my take on everyday self-defense or self-protection, because it really is something that you will need to use one day. I mean, it would be really nice if everyone could go through life without ever having to raise their fists to anyone. That's never going to happen. One day you will find yourself in the wrong place and you will be approached or attacked, and you will need to defend yourself or your loved ones. So it's best to get that training done. Of course, at the moment, it is really, really hard to find anywhere to train because of the lockdown and the COVID-19. And now we're in these tiers. It's even worse, because the tier 3 people have got no chance of doing anything except doing stuff solo. The tier 2 people are practically in the same boat. The only people that can do this kind of stuff are the tier 1 people. And that is unfortunate, because that's a minuscule amount of people. So while we're like this, practice on your own, practice diligently, and make sure that everything you do is done in a realistic way. Thank you for listening to the English Martial Arts Podcast Show, and hopefully if you liked this episode, we'll see you next time. Thank you and goodbye.
Listen to us, 'cause we listen to you.